I guess we'll start.
The Ramban addresses the question that Vlad addressed, which is, what's the perspective on the fact that the Avos kept the Torah? This is how this counts as a human. So also, tomorrow that you saw a human that professed, says that Avraham Avinu kiyam kol haTorah ad shelo nitna, afilu something, three possible girsos, Erev Katzeros, Erev Kumin, or we have Erev Tavshilin.
So I think there's a Quran in Yuma, so the Gemara said Erev Tavshilin.
Right.
But I think there's some Jews of Prophets and Jews of Gersos. The Quran says Erev Tavshilin means Basachol,
right? Tavshilin. Yes. Mm-hmm. So some point out if it's Erev Katzeros, that's problematic. Because Machlogas Tanayim in Erevin, where do you have to use an Erev Chatzeres? If you have a number of people who live in the same Chatzer and they want to carry common property, you have to make an Erev Chatzeres before Shabbos. So Machlogas, Blazer Ben Yaakov, and Blazer Ben Yaakov said the Shita, you only have a Chiyah for Erev Chatzeres if there are at least two Jews living in the Chatzer with Goyim. And we pass them that way. Avram Avinu was the only Jewish household in town, so according to the Shita we passed in light, there would have been no need for Avram to make an Erev Chatzeres. But that's apparently better. As he alluded to in the past, the Parshas Drachim, which was a Drasha Sefer authored by the Menachab of the Mishnah Melech, and in his famous first Drasha, deals with the question of whether the Avos had a status of Yisrael Legamri, their Yosei Mechal B'nei Noach B'en L'Kula B'en L'Chumra, or did they only accept the Chumras of Yisraelim, but they kept the chumras of B'nai Noach as well. And he tries to prove that that's a machlokas Tanayim, a machlokas Amiramim, a machlokas Midrashim, a machlokas Yishonim, and a divna machlokas Yosef and his brothers. Because when Chazal Darshan that Ve'yavei Yosef Yosef Samar Levihem, he said that they were Ochel Abram and Achai. So the real situation is it was Mifar Chesed, they had Shefka, the animal was still running around. So that's something which Baker did as Mutter for B'nai Noach. Mutter for Yisrael, but also for B'nai Noach. Now it's Machlok as Yosef and his brothers, whether they're Yosef, Machal B'nai Noach, Bein L'Kula Bein L'Chum, or only L'Chum. Fine. So the Parshas Rachim in that essay suggests that the Ramban in Parshas Emor weighs in on this question. Before we get to today's Ramban, in the Parsha of the Mekalel, in the end of Emor, so there's a Drashas Chazal, the Torah's Kohanim, on the Pasuk, V'sof b'nei Yisrael, why does it say V'sof b'nei Yisrael? The Torah's Kohanim comments, M'labish v'nisgayir. So the Ramban there quotes from the Chochmei Tzarfas, who addressed the question, why was there a need for a gear? The din is that Eved u'akam abal b'as Yisrael, if you have a relationship between a guy and a Jewish girl, so Machlokas Tanan, whether Vlad Mamzer or Vlad Kasher, but everyone agrees, Yonasan Ivish is notwithstanding, he has an innovative suggestion, but the Pashup Shad and the Machlokas is that everyone agrees that the kids are Yisrael, the kid is Jewish. The question is he a Mamzer or is he Kasher? And we ask him that he's Kasher, probably Pasul Lakuna, but he's Kasher, he's not a Mamzer. But either way, everyone agrees, the Pashup, that the Vlad is Yisrael, not a guy. Evan of Akam Havel Bas Yisrael. So what was the need for a gear in this situation? So the Chachmei Tzarfas, that the Ramban quotes, suggested that the reason they needed a gear was because at this point, Kodem Matan Torah, everyone had the status of Ben Noach. And the din is that by Umos, Holech Achar is Achar. Even though by Klai Yisrael, we have matrilineal descent, the Goyim have patrilineal descent. So since the birth happened before Matan Torah, and he had the status of a Goy because his father was an Egyptian, and his father was a Goy, and therefore they needed a gear. And the Ramban asks on the Chachmei Tzarfas, that's not true, because Avram Avinu already accepted the Torah. Avram was Mekayim the Torah, as did all his descendants. So they no longer have the status of Umos Holim, they have the status of Yisrael. Once they have the status of Yisrael, so the din is that the Vlad Holech Acharim, not Achar, has Achar, and the kid would have been a full-fledged Yisrael. The only reason that they required a gear was just like the rest of Klal Yisrael had a gear on Mamad Har Sinai. They went through Mila and Tvila and Harsas Damim. So that was the same process that all of the Klal Yisrael went through. It happened to be this guy didn't go through it because he wasn't firm at the time. So he went through that process at a different point, but it was the same quasi-Gerith process that was undertaken by the rest of Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a formal, gear as a Chachmei Tzarfas would have it. So the Parshas Drachim suggests that this machlokas between the Ramban and the Chachmei Tzarfas is this very machlokas, whether Klal Yisrael or Yosef Mechlal B'nei Noach Legamri from the time of Avram Avinu. According to the Chachmei Tzarfas, they were not. They still had the Chumras of B'nei Noach. They had the Chumras of B'nei Noach, so they would have to undergo a Geirus L'chumra. But if they were Yosef Mechlal B'nei Noach Legamri, then they had the status of a regular member of Klal Yisrael and didn't require a formal Geirus. That's how we present the Shittas Ramban over there, that they were Yosef Mechlal B'nei Noach Legamri. The Ramban here is bothered by the question of how Yaakov Avinu married two sisters in violation of the Torah, if the others kept the Torah, called them Kadosh Shenina. How did Moshe Rabbeinu put up a matzeva? How did Yaakov put up a matzeva? How did Amram marry his aunt? And the like. So the suggestion, the famous suggestion that the Ramban prefers, the Ramban made it famous, he preferred it, was that there is a distinction between the Kiyum HaMitzvos in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael, that when the others kept the Torah, they only accepted it upon themselves in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't accept it upon themselves in Chutz La'aretz. So Yaakov Avinu married two sisters in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore there wasn't a violation of the Torah as far as he kept it. The Achronim posed the following question on the Ramban, the Mizrahi, and others. If that's the case, that Yaakov Avinu acted totally beheter, then what's John the Gemara, the end of Arvid Tzachim? The Gemara Arvid Tzachim paints a picture of what's going to happen in Lasse Lavo when all the others sit together and one of them is supposed to lead the Zeman. And all the others pass because of different things that they did that were Shalokidin. So Yaakov Avinu passes on benching. He doesn't want to lead the Zeman because he married two sisters. So if the Ramban is correct, that there's no chet involved, that the others only kept the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, so why was Yaakov Avinu reluctant to bench? That's not such a kasha. The Tshuvas HaRadvaz in Chelek Beis Siman Tafet Tzadivav and the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh Parshas V'Yigash all say more or less the same thing, that could be, technically speaking, Yaakov Avinu wasn't a violation of any Isser, and it could be he did the right thing, as we'll see as we go on. But nevertheless, it was at least Mishum Midas Chasidus, the fact that he was doing something that the Torah would Aser in the future, so it wasn't 100%. So that was enough, Mishum, the violation of Midas Chasidus, that was enough of a reason that he didn't want to lead the Zimun, but it didn't have to be that he was over any formal Isser. So in light of the Ramban that we quoted in Parshas Emor, the Klal Yisrael is bothered why the Ramban is the command of the Skiddush of Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban Skiddush is original. The Maharal finds it very difficult to understand. The Arachayim, which we quote in Parshas Vayechi, finds it difficult to understand. It's an original chiluk. And the Klal Yisrael asks, why do you say more simply, if it's the case that the Ramban holds that B'nai Yisrael Kodem Matan Torah, that the Avos were Yosef Mechlal B'nei Noach Legamri, so why did you just answer that Gershon is Gaius because it's Shinola Zafi? But now to marry Rachel and Leah, they presumably entered the faith at that point, they have the status of the Gershon. And Marsha discusses the new as well, one of his explanations to Yaakov's actions. So why do you say that Gershon is Gaius because it's Shinola Zafi? There are new people. Gershon Eskayi tells you that you disregard the previous yichus. So then, as far as the halacha is concerned, as far as the Torah is concerned, they're not sisters anymore. So, you could have said, Parshas Drachim himself doesn't assume this way because of other comments that he makes in this piece. But maybe you would have said that there's still the principle of mi'ikamidi, or shalayomru al-chami kedusha chamur l'kedusha kala. Mi'ikar adin, once you say gershon is kak gada shenoladami, so most krovim would be mutter to a guy who converts. You have a mi'ikar adin, two sisters convert, so then they should be able to marry the same person. But there's a principle that Shalay Yamru Yatsum the Kedusha Chamur, the Kedusha Kala, people shouldn't say, oh, Judaism is such an easy religion, and beforehand when they were Goyim, then there were Yisrael Arayas. And now that they converted, they're no longer related to each other, so the Yisrael Arayas that would have existed when the Goyim doesn't exist when they're Yisrael. So maybe you would have said that that principle applied here as well. It's clearly only a din de Rabbanan, and you could well argue that it wouldn't have been applicable called the Batan Torah. Anyway, so that's not what the Klichemda says. The Klichemda suggests that within the Ramban, Gershon is Kaikon Shinola Dami was not an operative principle until the time of Matan Torah. That is true, anyone who joined the faith during the period of the Avos had a status of a Ger. But the notion of Gershon is Kaikon Shinola Dami was only relevant once the Torah was given to Yisrael in a formal setting. Then you can say that anyone who joins the Jewish people has a new status of a new person. But in the period of the Avos, that principle was not applicable. It brings a right to this from the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota describes the conversation between Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda says to Tamar, Sota Daf Yud, Shema Nachrisat, so he meets her, and she says, well, how do I know that you're not a Nachris? Amr Olei, Giorasani. So she says, no, I converted already. Shema Eshes Ishat. Then Yehuda says to her, well, maybe you're married to someone else. Penuyani. No, I'm not. I'm single. Shema Kibel Bach Avich Kedushin. So maybe you're a Ktana, or when you are a Ktana, your father accepted Kedushin on your behalf from someone else, and you're really Mureses to someone else. Amr Lei, you saw money. No, I don't have a father. So what do you see? That if the principle of Gershon Skyer would have been applicable, then what's the shaykus of Kedusha Ketana that a father with Mekabel Kedushin on her behalf? She doesn't have a father. Gershon Skyer says that the Ger has no problem at all. So the fact that Yehuda was worried about Kedusha Ketana from her father would seem to indicate that she had a recognized father, and the principle of Gershon Skyer got the Chanola dummy was not relevant at that point in history. What's Shai Kedusha Ketana? Yeah. Right, so the Klechemda raises that thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, he points that out as well. Then he quotes a Paneach Raza in Parshas Vayisara, who's bothered, how is it that Avram Avinu gave all his Yerusha to Yitzchak and closed all the other relatives out from any of his Yerusha? Isn't that a violation of the din that you can't... can't leave your children, your other children, with nothing? And he says that, well, Avraham Avinu had the status of a ger, and the din is that a ger doesn't yarshin his property to goyim, to relatives or relatives prior to his gerus, because of ger shenis gayim. Then he says that's very good for Hagar, but if Avraham married the Chuvas of Ashba in Chelak Aleph Simin Sadi Dalit is also bothered by this problem of the Ramban. How is it that if the Avos kept the Torah, then what was Yaakov Avinu doing marrying two sisters? So he has this cryptic answer. First he explains that what does it mean that the Avos kept the Torah? It means that there's an internal logic that's contained in every mitzvah, which the Avos were able to discern based on their broad chachma, and it's not that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah them in the mitzvah, it's the way they were able to figure out based on their own intense chachma what the logic behind every mitzvah was, and from that they were able to figure out what the mitzvahs were. They were never mitzvah in the mitzvahs, but they were able to figure out on their own what those mitzvahs were. Then he says, how is it that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters? And he gives this cryptic answer. He says that all mitzvahs work within three spheres. There's a sphere, or modified by three ideas. There's an idea of zman, of time, of makom, of place, and of kelim, what the mitzvah applies to. So Zman means that there are certain mitzvahs that are limited to certain times. There's an Isser Malach on Shabbos, but you do the same Malach on Sunday, there's no violation involved. You can eat Chametz on Pesach and Michaya Karis, you can eat Chametz on Sukkot, and that's a good thing to do. Shake a lulav on Sukkot to get a mitzvah, you shake a lulav on Pesach, you've done nothing. There's Makom. Trumos and Maestros are only applicable in certain places, only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, let's say. You can only be Makar Kabanos in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't be Makar Kabanos during most times in history in your own backyard. And Kalim, there's certain, when you have to bring a korban, you can only bring a korban from certain animals. You can't bring a korban from whatever you want, you're not chayiv in Maestros from every possible type of produce. Fine. So those are the three different factors that are involved in determining the application of mitzvahs. And that's all he says. And then he says this is a sod, and he can't explain it anymore. So the Radvaz attempts to explain a little bit what he thinks he's getting at. I'll read you a couple of lines from the Radvaz. He doesn't spell everything out, but I'll tell you what he thinks he's getting at. Lo akol ru'uyim beiz achayos ke'yakov. Lefisha tzirasa chakuka b'kisi akavot. The time Aveira Kadeshalo Lishtamish Bisharvita Shamelach Nachlos Yaakov Nachala Blimitsarim and Mishtamish Bibes Achayos Rachavaleya. So however this works, somehow just like there's certain mitzvahs that are applicable only in certain times, certain mitzvahs that are applicable only in certain places, certain mitzvahs that are applicable only in certain situations and to certain objects, so Yaakov somehow was mufka from this Isser of Beis Achayos, because whatever the reason for the Isser was didn't apply to Yaakov Avinu. It's a little too esoteric to claim that it's darshing the time of the crop. But on some level, based on the fact that Yaakov's surah was chakuka b'kisei hakavod, this didn't apply to Yaakov. I wouldn't extrapolate from that to any of us. The part they say also, yeah. The opposite, by why is the Yisrael only the Kedushin? The Yisrael is a Diyah. Right, okay. And the Yisrael might be the Kedushin as well. That's a Machlokas Amarayim, whether by the Chavi Rav, the Yisrael only the Diyah or the Yisrael as well. Yeah, okay. Fine. Right, whether it's correct. Okay, yeah. That there was Kedushin?
Yeah.
So the same thing, that if the Yosef Mechav and Enova, so the method of Kedushin was the method of Yisrael, not the method of Enova, not Pagei Yisha B'Shok.
The assumption in the question is that they were Enova?
The assumption of the question is that minimally they were Yosef Mechav and Enova L'chumra. Avim Avinu Kiyam Kol HaTorah Ashel HaNinu. Right. The Pagei Yisrael quotes a Medrash Talpios. It says the reason that Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters was because he had to be ma'arbev as ha-satan, that the satan should have been the katreg when the shvatim were born. And had Yaakov had a normal married life with people that were totally mutter to him, so then the satan would have been active in trying to mess things up. But since the satan really is that this seems to be the aveira, so there's no need messing around, it's all messed up anyway. And that kept the Sultan away. It was some type of Esa Sasa Hashem Efeus Arasecha. However that works. The Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi is bothered by a parallel question, which is, how was Yaakov Avinu able to violate the din of Loyiva Kerech Ben Ha'udav Le'ben Asabab HaKadosh? Yaakov Avinu took the Bechorah away from Reuven, who was the rightful inheritor, and bestowed it upon Yosef. So why isn't that a violation of the din of Ben Ahuva and Ben Hasnua? And he deals with these issues. He quotes the Ramban. He's not comfortable with the Ramban. So the way what he says to answer his problem, which also answers the problem of Yaakov and the Beis Achayos, is that the reason that the Avos kept the mitzvahs was kind of, it's a little bit analogous to the maral that I'll quote soon. The way he says the reason the Avos got the mitzvahs was not because they were mitzvahs, they weren't, but there was a toelus to be achieved by giving them. There's no penalty involved in not giving them. There's no punish. But all things being equal, there was a toelus that they achieved by keeping the mitzvahs. So in a situation where there are other counterbalancing teshbonos, and the Avos estimated that there might have been a toelus in not giving and giving mitzvah, then they had the right to not give the mitzvah because they weren't bound. The Torah and the Yosef, they weren't bound on the pain of Onesh at all. So when it came to Reuven and Yosef, Yaakov felt that there was a compelling reason to not give the Torah to Reuven, and like what Reuven did, whatever the reason was, and to give it to Yosef. So he had that right because he wasn't bound formally to keep the mitzvah. Same thing about Yaakov, if Yaakov, whatever his sentence was, to proliferate the Shvatim, there were no other people around to marry, whatever the tashrik was, so he thought it was litoelus to marry these two sisters, and that being the case, he had the right to do so because he wasn't formally bound by any of the Isurim Shabbat Torah. He says that's analogous to the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam says, Perek Tes Yesodei HaTorah, that if a Navi tells you to be over on an Isur on a temporary basis, then you should listen to him, just like Eliyahu the Har Carmel told him to buy it. It's almost he had the right to do so. That was a temporary harav shan, part of an avi. So here too, where situations warranted, the others were able to not keep mitzvos where that made sense. The parallel suggestion that the Maral makes, the Maral in Ger Aryeh Karshis Vayigash, first he says, well, he entertains the Gershon as Gaiu issue. That's answer one. Then he suggests that, anyway, this all was Bruach HaKodesh, and Yaakov Avinu was instructed to marry Rachel and Leah, so it wasn't his own initiative, Bruach HaKodesh. And then the famous answer to the Maral is that the Avos kept the mitzvahs, he only kept mitzvahs, b'toras, ainu mitzvahs, and not mitzvahs. They weren't commanded. They didn't anyway, ainu mitzvahs. It only makes sense, b'toras ainu mitzvahs, to be mekayim aseis. There's no, if I'm not mitzvah to shake a lulav, and I shake a lulav, so I've done something, I've done an action, and there's scar, b'toras ainu mitzvahs. But if I'm not a kohen, and I'm not enjoined against the Matami Lameis, and I decide to be Machmir myself, and I'm going to accept the luck of the Tumas Kohenim, B'tar Seyed Mitzvah Yosef, that's ridiculous. What do I gain by not... there's no scar involved in cheating myself like a Kohen, not being Matami Lameis. That doesn't make any sense. Seyed Mitzvah Yosef makes sense if I do an action, and then I get scar for that action. If I refrain from doing something, I'm not a Kohen, but I won't marry a Grusha. That's ridiculous. I don't get scar for not marrying a Grusha because I'm not a Kohen. So the others also, they kept the mitzvahs, the Torahs, and the Tuvios, and now the Torahs and the Tuvios. So they have the Tuvios, they're obviously obligated, they would have been obligated in all the Lavin swellers. And in the Tuvios, they weren't obligated in the Lavin. So there was no violation of marriage to the Avios, that wasn't part of the package that the others accepted. Okay. I'll move on to a few other Haros. And Ramban and Parsha. Now the Ramban explains that the three Be'eros that Avraham had dug and Yitzchak redug correspond in the world of Ma'aseh and Labanim to the three Bate Mikdash. So the first two Be'eros, Esek and Sitna, correspond to the first Bate Mikdash and the second Bate Mikdash. And both of those Bate Mikdash, there were fights about it. Eventually they were destroyed. And that's why there were fights between the Roei Yitzchak and the Roei Avimelech over these two first bears. And the third bear, Rehovos, there was no fighting of that, and that corresponds to the third Beis HaMikdash, which will not involve any fighting. Makel Yarchav Gulenu, and everyone will recognize the supremacy of Klal Yisrael in Beis HaMikdash. So Klal Chemda just develops this idea a little bit more, B'Toras Drush, that even though there were fights in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, they were of a different nature. First Beis HaMikdash, the fighting was on a political, governmental, Malchus level. The main fighting internally was between the Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis Dov and Malchus Yehuda. And that fighting between the Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis Yehuda eventually led to the Korban. The fighting in the second Beis HaMikdash was in Ashkenaz. That was internal fighting between the individual members of Klal Yisrael for no apparent or no justifiable reason. So Klal Chemda says that's Merumas in the Pesukim here. First, it says in the first Be'er, Vayaribu Ru'e Grar Im Ru'e Yitzchak Leimor Lanu Hamayim Vayikra Shem Be'er Eisha Eitzeh Ki Yitzchak Uimo. So there's a rib between the Ru'e Yitzchak and the Ru'e Avimelech, the Ru'e Grar. So the Torah tells you that the fight was between the Ru'im and the Ru'im. So that corresponds to the fight in the first Beis HaMikdash between the Malchus Beis Ovid and the Malchus Yisrael, between the kingdoms, political fights, royal fights. And that was called Esai because of that Esai. The second Be'er, it just says Vayachbaru Be'er HaKaris Vayiribu Gam Aleha. Doesn't say who. They fought. Doesn't say who fought. That corresponds to the same Beis HaMikdash, where the fighting was everyone fought. It wasn't just the Malchus that were fighting. Every individual was fighting based on Sin Astino. And that's why it was called Sitna Milash and Satan, that it was the Satan who was riling everyone up to fight for no apparent reason. And the third Be'er, Rechovos, Geta Hirchiv Hashem Lanu, Ufarinu Va'aretz. The Ramban quotes Bahar Chavid, the Ibn Ezra, who argued that the issue of Yaakov and Esau with the Bechora and the sale of the Bechora has to be seen within the context of a very poor family situation, a monetarily poor situation. The Ramban doesn't accept that. And the Ramban writes, "Bizoy haBechora leEsau l'Avzarios liba," that the fact that Esau was mevaz of the Bechora was due to his cruelty. I was bothered, what's the slashon of Absarios? He was the Basil before, he didn't treat it with proper respect, he was lightheaded. But what's the cruelty involved? Yeah.
It's because if he had so many pain, I'm assuming it was both, right?
Right.
So he had so many pain, he was fighting himself, and then he was the Basil himself and the gay, so okay. But if it was something for him to gain, he's still the master. So the only answer, he really was. Really
is that called cruelty?
What?
So I just noticed last night that Simcha Zissel, the Chaverin of Rosh Yeshiva, has a svarim on Shir Megevan Ramban. So he points out in this lashon that Avzarius doesn't mean cruelty. It means a lack of expressing normal emotion, or what would be expected emotion. He quotes the Lashon of Rambam in Hilchos Avel, that if a person, Hilchos Avel Perek Gimel Lachi Yibbeis, person isn't this Avel Karo'oi, as he's expected, Kol Misha Einam is Avel Kamosh Yitzivah Chacham Reza Avzari. If a person doesn't conduct himself when he's an Avelus, according to the prescribed procedures of Chazal, so then he's called an Avzari. It doesn't mean he's cruel. It means that he's not in touch with the emotional side which should be governing his activity during that time. If a person has the proper emotional reaction to death, so then he'll naturally follow the prescriptions of Hilchos Avos. See, here too, Esav was in touch with what should have been his normal emotional state, so then he wouldn't have been with that of the Bechor. The Levush Mordechai, not the Chelus Mordechai, Gimple from Vlajan, points out that according the Ramban starts this piece with the Pasuk initially Baza Davar Yachalo. He points out that if my focus the Ramban and the Rashbam over here, how the sale was conducted. According to the Ramban, the sale, the price of the sale was the food itself. The Nezir Ad Hashem itself. According to the Rashbam, there was a normal sale with money, and the Nezir Ad Hashem was just a way of formalizing the sale. The Rashbam says it is by inquiries b'chara so pasuk lama gimel kafe lama gimel b'damim v'achar kaf yakov nasan leisav lachem nezir ad Hashem. So lachem nezir ad Hashem was in the actual kesef. K'minhag b'nei adam b'kiyam davar. If you want to show that you're making an effective sale, so you'll give something of token value to express the finality of the sale. So according to the Ramban, it's an even more egregious fate. According to the Rashbam, it's also it was a bizayim, but at least for the Rashbam, he got money out of it. Here, the sold it for lechem and sidat Hashem. That's even worse. And what's the bizoy? So he suggests, the Rabbi Gimple, that the real bizoy is the vayokam vayelach v'yivez ha'yisav esav b'chora, the fact that he just walked up and left, and there's no going back on the cell. That was the that was how he was mevaza the b'chora. The Ramban, Batelach the Droshes Hashem, the Ramban says that Drisha in the Torah and Tanakh is only Lashon Tefila. The Droshes Haran has a few kashas on the Ramban from Tzukim. Drosha Beis in the Droshes Haran is on this Parsha. Goes through the whole episode of the selling of the Bechora. So he makes a comment there that there are psukim and nach that seem to indicate that lashon and drisha isn't only an expression of tefillah. One of the psukim that he quotes is by Yeravam, by Yomer Melech El Chazael, Kach Yadcha Mincha V'Leich Lekrati Shelokim. So go ask from the Ish Elokim whether I'm going to live. So there, Vidarashta, as Hashem doesn't sound like it's a Lashon Tefillah. It sounds like you should ask the Navi to find out whether this is going to happen or not. The Parshas Yosef points out, though, that the Ramban himself in Parshas Yisro has a similar comment about Lashon Tefillah. And there, actually, quotes the Pasuk in Ach, and he explains that there really is Lashon Tefillah. You should go and be mispalel. So you take a look at the Ramban in Yisro Yudches, who quotes some of these other psukim to support the fact that Drisha is Milashon Tefillah. Parshas Yosef quotes a joke on the Pasuk at the end of the Parsha, Vayomer Esav b'libo, Yikaru Yimei Evel Avi, and then I'll kill Yaakov. So the Ramban says that Esav Ya Omer Yikavu Yimei Evel Avi, Ki B'chayv Lo Yitzaranu. He didn't want to cause aggravation to his father. Oh, mipachdo shalei kalenu v'tehepach brachas elokalo. Or he was concerned that he didn't want Yitzchak Avinu to retract on the little bracha that he was able to get out of him at the end. Rivka pachta Hashem yomus v'zakim pisam v'yargenu. Rivka is worried that Yitzchak might die soon, and Esav is going to kill Yaakov. Hashem yizami lo b'chay v'yargenu, or maybe he'll have the opportunity to kill him anyway. The Paradis Yosef quotes a joke that why was Esav going to wait till his father died to kill Yaakov? If he would have just killed him straight out, so then people would think that wasn't right. How could it be that a brother kills another brother? Once Yitzchak died, and then Yaakov and Esav would have been saying Kaddish and davening for an Amud, so it would have been well understood by everyone if they would have gotten into a fight over who's going to daven for the Amud, and Esav would kill Yaakov over the Amud. That's the Dvar Mitzvah, and that would have been accepted by everyone. So that's Yikavu Yimei Evel Avi, V'Gez Yaakov Achi.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to run somewhere, so we'll stop here.